Good evening and welcome to episode 16 of Rangers Rundown. I am your host, Mike Kinzer.
Excuse me.
Yes?
Welcome to Rangers Rundown. I have broken free of Mike's laundry room. I have escaped my sockish confines. And I find myself recording with these same two miscreants.
We gave it a shot, didn't we, Hayden?
Yeah. We had a good run.
We did.
It was good. I'm not going to pretend that I didn't like it. It was fun. But I think it's time to return to our normal configuration here this evening. A normal configuration of us getting smacked around by the New York Yankees. Oh, it's my childhood all over again. I'm Max. That was Mike. This is Hayden.
Hello.
And we are Rangers Rundown. Hope you Rangers fans are doing fine out there. Somebody has to be in the Rangers universe because it certainly isn't the team. What a couple of games. The Chicago White Sox, American League Central juggernauts. I think they're favored to win the World Series this year, right? That's why we should feel okay losing all those games?
They're up and comers.
Sort of. Hey, Yoan Moncada's pretty good. I like him. I can name, like, a pitcher, maybe.
Yeah, isn't he tall or something?
No, I think he's the short one.
No. Yeah, I'm thinking of the other guy, yeah.
Oh, yeah, other guy. Yeah, no, he is tall. I liked Giolito. I saw him in Birmingham. He's a thing. Not really. Chicago series, dropping 3 out of 4 to one of the worst teams in the American League, or better phrased, a team won 3 out of 4 against one of the worst teams in the American League, the Texas Rangers. We are not looking very good in the standing so far. I have us as being one game better than Miami. Is that right?
I think you are correct.
Oof. Legendarily good 2018 Miami Marlins. Spent the offseason getting better, getting younger at least. Traded off such derelicts as Giancarlo Stanton. Kind of useless. Who cares? Dingers, they're overrated. Miami's looking pretty good. They're edging us out. They're the sixth best or fifth best record in baseball.
Fifth worst.
Oh, no, I have this sorted wrong. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's the fifth worst record in baseball. Weird.
You're almost right.
Huh. Strange. So, I think I called it the very first episode. We're not even going to get a good draft pick out of the season, are we?
No, we're going to find some way to screw that up. I feel quite certain of that.
Yeah, that was the first episode you said that. However, I do think you also said something about we'll end up kind of dancing around 500.
I did.
That would be a stellar turn of events. I don't know what our win percentage is at right now. I'm going to guess without looking around 325.
It's not that far off. We're at 375.
Yeah, I looked it up the other day. So we're definitely on 100 loss pace, which we could get into that maybe. But things are different in Arlington this year. And we're talking about it still. We made a commitment.
This was a bad commitment.
Yeah.
Worst timing ever.
Yeah,
or
but
timing. The podcast is the secret. The moment we stop recording, the Rangers get good again. This is a superpower.
Well, I'm just thinking that we're cutting our teeth and getting better and I don't know, learning things and
we'll be national by the time they're contending again.
There's that, and I think that we're just gonna be forced like this podcast. Without this podcast, it would be very easy to just like let go. And just check the box scores and just say, all right, well, let me know what guy we draft. And
even with the podcast, it's tempting.
yeah, no kidding. But the sufferings of the mid-2000s teams, that's what made the most recent playoff run so sweet, is that we turned it around and we were a real baseball team and we were getting talked about on a national level and we were signing good players and had multiple all-stars and all that stuff was really fun. So, you know, we're in a valley part right now and this is what baseball is. And lest we forget, I mean, the Rangers were a team for quick math says what was it, 37 years before they made the playoffs for the first time? No, 27 years before they made the playoffs for the first time. So, you know, we've gone through that. A lot of fans have already gone through that. So this valley, even though it is kind of, obviously it's bleak, even though it's bleak right now on the team, you know, that we're seeing every night and there's not much help in AAA, it still, I would imagine, is a lot more optimistic. And if we don't make the playoffs for nearly three decades, then I'm just going to assume that, like, Arlington burned to the ground and the Rangers went with them and there's just no baseball in Arlington anymore. So we'll be fine.
I imagine, Mike, you have maybe a stronger sort of perspective on this than I do, with even more experience than me in terms of watching the Rangers. But, like, for me, growing up, watching the mid-90s teams, I really got into baseball at around 94, 95 when I was a little kid. And the 96 run, when we went to the playoffs, was incredible. Like, my team that I knew in some corner of my head was really historically bad, they're making this run. Like, we're making the playoffs. We're in the playoffs. And, of course, we got destroyed by the Yankees, and I will never forgive them for that. And then we, you know, go back in, what, 98 and 99 and lost to the Yankees in both years. Is that right?
Yeah, and those coincided with the 3 years in the late 90s that the Yankees won the World Series. So we were, again, a victim of very bad timing. At least that's the excuse I'm going with. I'm going to stick to it.
Right. But, like, that the terrible years of the 80s especially, and just the dark periods in the 90s, I think this helped make the late 90s first playoff runs feel even more special. And then how terrible we were in the aughts meant that the 10 and 11 runs were really fun. Like, it's weird for me watching the Rangers in 2018 and being disappointed that they're pretty bad, because, you know, for most of my Rangers experience, the Rangers have been kind of bad. And I wouldn't have been disappointed in them being bad. I would be looking for things to like, and I'd just be enjoying watching baseball. And now I expect the Rangers to be good every year. And that's new. You know, that wasn't a thing that Rangers fans had for a really long time. So us being pretty bad this year and being fairly uninteresting last year and probably not being very good next year, I think it's going to make that return to glory in hopefully 2020 or 2021 feel pretty good again. It's sort of a weird feeling.
For me,
good and then not being good.
For me, the difference is I feel better with the ownership group and the general manager that we have in place than at any other time when this team was historically bad. I feel like they've got a plan. I don't know what it is because it's very confusing, but they've got the money. They're giving it their all. I mean, you see what they're doing in the Latin market. You know, signing a crazy number of players. They're trying to get good quick, and I applaud them for their efforts. And I feel like they're going to do some things that are going to surprise some people. And I do think that 2020, 2021, we're going to have a nice little team.
And I like something that Kevin has talked about a little bit on his Twitter and on Lone Star Bowl, and that generally has been a discussion. It's not just a Kevin thing, although he did talk about it, in that the farm system has decided to slow itself down, that the Rangers are not rushing their prospects last year and this year. And that sort of speaks to me as well of a team that is looking forward, is trying to plan itself into its future. You know, we've had a couple of decent drafts, maybe. I liked a lot of the guys that we picked up last year. We're starting to see some returns from a couple of drafts a few years in the past. You know, we're maybe looking at a new philosophy for the Rangers, and that's promising, like you're saying. Another one that stands out to me is our conversation about Joey Gallo that we were having here, and that I know we were all having online, where we are very angry most of the time in him not being a third baseman. And we're saying, you know, what the heck is the front office doing here? Why is Joey Gallo not a third baseman? This is stupid. This is nonsense. And then, you know, that news article comes out last week that you guys talked about, with Joey saying he hates third base. You know, they know more than we do, and they're not acting irrationally. We just don't have the information to see that rationality.
And unlike the Cowboys, we don't get these stupid leaks, which let us know just how stupid the front office is. So, you know, it's there's an air of mystery when you don't know what's going on, but I have confidence in them.
It's nice to be reminded of that. Go ahead, Aiden.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, and to that point, it makes certain things like not knowing that Gallo hates third base frustrating, but it also, I appreciate how our front office keeps things close to the chest, organization-wide. It's not fun whenever, I mean, look at the Mets, look at the Cowboys, to the different degree.
Oh, sure.
Teams that are just dysfunctional and kind of rotten from the inside. And just because, I mean, one of the things that I was most proud of while the Rangers were in the playoffs and, you know, doing that kind of thing most recently and, you know, playing meaningful baseball and high-profile baseball and having important games and important roster decisions and all that kind of stuff was just the way that we handled ourselves, even if things were unfortunate. I mean, take for example the with the Hurricane Harvey thing and the way that, you know, we offered to play the games in Arlington, and I'm not going to pretend like I know all of the details or anything, but regardless, us playing in Tampa Bay was not ideal. And we were not complaining. Like, you didn't hear anybody from our organization complaining about it or bad-mouthing the Astros. Whereas on the flip side, deserved or not, I mean, the fact that you have Reed Ryan complaining to the press and, like, making the Rangers out to be selfish and, like, wanting to play the games in Arlington, like, to have some kind of home field advantage because we need every game to make the playoffs or something. Like, regardless of that, I appreciate, I mean, that, like, it just looks bad, in my opinion. In my opinion,
it felt,
like,
kind of gross.
Yeah, I mean, take the Astros aspect out of it. Even take the, you know, the tragedy of that hurricane out of it. I mean, just to see your, you know, executives going to the media and kind of airing out your dirty laundry or your grievances is not a good look, even if you are somewhat justified. The kind of the way that our organization is run, I do appreciate it, and even if it leaves fans like us to getting angry, I will take getting angry over over non-information over getting angry over misinformation or just immaturity.
It can definitely make you feel like you're, you know, in the dark a little bit, or that you know, you're ahead of the front office and you're saying, well, this is the obvious thing to do, you know, this is the smart move, why aren't they doing it, when you have an organization that has sort of informational control that Texas has displayed over the last couple of years, which I think can be frustrating at times when you feel like you're a fairly engaged and savvy and an intellectual fan, and then you don't see your team cutting that more. And you're like, well, what's going on here? Why are you doing this? Or you don't see your team playing Joey Gallo, the quote-unquote third baseman of the future, at third base, and you say, come on, guys, you have a third baseman. You know, and then you get news information like Gallo hates playing third base. You know, maybe not only is he not great at it, he just really doesn't want to be there. And so the team wants to do right by its guy and help him out a little bit here. Sure. Okay. I didn't know that before. It would have been nice to know that before. You know, those are the kinds of things that I think we're going to keep seeing. More information is going to be made available to us, and we're going to go, oh, yeah, if I'd had that information, sure, I would have done what you guys did. Yeah, okay, I see how that is. And that's, like Mike, you were saying earlier, that's really sort of reassuring. It makes you feel a lot better about the front office when the information does come out and you can see what they were thinking and go, ah, no, these guys, they know what they're about.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that Gallo didn't just go blurting that out and that was news to the front office. I'm sure that was all discussed. They already have an alternate plan in place, and it will come to fruition, and it's all going to work out. That's how much trust I have in them. I really do.
Yeah, this is not like a Harvey situation where the front office and a player are fighting each other, and they're saying things to the media left and right. This is something I think where no one's bothered to ask Joey about this because they haven't wanted to go out and say, well, why aren't you playing third base, Mr. Gallo? And when someone finally does that and maybe doubts this front office a little bit, he's like, well, I don't want to be there. Like, I don't want to play third base anymore. And I mean, what a revelation to see. So in terms of folks who do and do not want to play third base, Texas did just see you know, our newest third baseman of the season, Hanser Alberto, came back up. We just talked about him last week when we had Kevin on. And the conversation there was about, you know, Hanser being a major leaguer is going to have to deal with Hanser doing the things he needs to do to be a major league player. Apparently, he has done those things. He's made it up on the roster. But that is but one of many roster moves that the Rangers are looking at. Obviously, we have to deal with Adrian coming back off the 10-day DL whenever his hamstrings are ready. And I imagine the team's going to take longer this time than they did last time. Martin Perez is still on the 10-day. Matt Moore, apparently, has become injured since the last time I talked to anybody. He's got himself a knee thingy. That's nice to know. But we've got plenty of other guys. Hayden, I know you were talking earlier. We've got a bit of a crunch coming up. Who else is supposed to be coming on or off of the 40-man soon that Rangers fans should be aware of?
Right, so we have Elvis is coming off in about 3 weeks. I believe it's 3 weeks to the day, you said.
Gino,
so he's coming back. He's going to have his job back. That's no question there.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think he needs to earn it.
Yeah. You got to work for it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Ricky Rodriguez, kind of a guy that even if you do follow the Rangers somewhat closely, you probably don't really remember. But he had a fairly extended stint with the major league team last year as a reliever. He's on the 60-day DL. So is Tim Lincecum, which is awfully interesting, and we can talk about that maybe more in depth in a moment. Joe Palumbo, also on the 60-day DL. Not in danger, really, of taking anybody's 25-man spot, but he will have to be added to the 40 at some point, which... The reason why that's important, I guess, more or less to what you would be projecting and thinking about and planning for the future is that when you add somebody to the 40-man roster, you got to take somebody off. And when you take somebody off the 40-man roster, a lot of times you're talking about potentially losing that player completely out of your organization. So got those decisions to make coming up here in June. And it's going to be interesting to see which players end up surviving that cut. Even though it's funny because even though our team isn't so good and our upper minors aren't so good, there still aren't many easy decisions to risk losing players that you would feel okay about exposing to waivers.
Yeah, there's a couple of names that sort of stand out to me in terms of fringe guys, but even looking down the list, it's hard to say yep. Outside of maybe a couple of names. So I know we were talking about this earlier, but you've got, forgive me, I don't know if it's actually Eliezer or Eliezer or Eliezer Alvarez.
I like the last one best.
Eliezer? Yeah. He's down with Frisco. I believe he's also a Philly. Is that right?
Yes.
we seem to be making a sort of a Baltimore Orioles move of our own.
Yeah.
But we've also got some, you know, potential casualties in the 40-man, like Ryan Rua, who has been given his shot again and has, I think, generally underperformed. Drew Robinson, who is on a rehab assignment now. Hanser, who is with the big league team, but with the ascension of Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, maybe doesn't have his position anymore as the backup infielder. I think Jerickson probably goes back into a backup role once Adrian and Elvis are with the team, although we may be seeing him play a little bit more third base than you'd expect. I imagine the team is going to want to try and rest Adrian more than they would normally, given that he had two hamstring strains in one season. So Hanser may be a casualty. You've got a couple of, you know, pitchers, fringe guys like Connor Sadzek, who we talked about a week ago, Brandon Mann, who has been relatively effective in his stint with the big league club, but is not a big sexy name. I kind of feel like they might give him some more chances. But if they're doing that, they're doing that at the expense of dudes like Nick Gardewan or Jesse Chavez. And, oh my goodness, Ronald Guzman.
That was still watching this game. That was a humongous home run. That's at least 440.
Wow. Oh my, I missed boy. It.
Oh, Mike, you're going to have to pull that one up. Whew! So Ronald Guzman is never going down because he hits monster dongs.
That was beautiful. Oh. Just like the way that he recoiled after that swing and just satisfying. Watched it. Ooh, that is StatCast. Like, that is what StatCast is made for, with that launch angle and all that stuff. Oh my goodness. That's the platonic ideal of a left-handed home run.
That was so about 118 miles an hour.
Oh my goodness.
It's a very Stantonian response too, because he kind of blows out. Like, he gets it.
Yeah.
Which is what Giancarlo does. Oh, this is lovely. This is
443 feet.
There you go. This is very good podcast content. Everyone at home really loving us react to Ronald Guzman.
They want the live updates. Who doesn't want live updates?
Yes. Live updates hours after the game's over. Hey, yeah, I'll say this.
Exactly.
In defense of this, because I'm going to leave this in the cut, is let's say that you're maybe like me, and maybe you don't watch every Rangers game this season, but you're like, I feel like I should still be somewhat connected to the team because I love them so much, even though I also hate them so much.
That bridge? Pretty much,
yeah, we're the bridge. And so now I'm telling you, go to MLB.com, go to TexasRangers.com, look up the highlights for this game played today's Monday, May 21st, 7th inning, Guzman home run. You're welcome.
Yeah, and he crushed it off Chad Green, who has been a pretty effective reliever. Like, this is some scrub here. Green is pretty decent, and whew,
that was
halfway
impressive.
Up the second deck. Loved it. Ronald Guzman, he's not going anywhere. I mean, he may eventually have to go somewhere, depending on what we do when Willie Calhoun joins the team. Somebody has to play left field. Somebody has to DH. Somebody has to play first. So, barring an injury to Shinsu Chu, or goodness forbid, Nomar Mazara or Joey Gallo, one of Guzman or Calhoun cannot be on the Major League roster. So we'll have to kind of watch that one go. But there's a couple other guys who I'm looking at on the roster now who may be moving, you know, in terms of folks who are on the 40-man who may be getting cut in the next couple of weeks as we see more of these guys come up. Nick Gardewine and Jesse Chavez also pop out. Chavez has been pretty effective as a long man. I mean, I don't know how valuable the long man is going to be to this team organizationally. We can always call up dudes like Yoenter Mendez, or maybe move Matt Moore into some position of garbage stuff. We'll have to see how that goes. But then there's the trade candidates. I know it's the end of May. We've still got 2 months before the deadline, but with the Rangers' position in the standings and with our position on the win curve, you've got to start talking about the trade market at some point. And there's a couple of names that sort of stand out to me looking through it, but I don't know that it's great.
It's, you know, I would agree. And it's kind of in the line of when the Rangers are bad, it's kind of a bad time to be bad. And we've talked about that before, and it's something that I particularly feel, I notice a lot, maybe because I'm just more sensitive to the pain. But yeah, I think that we still might be able to get a good haul. So I guess what makes there's two parts of the trade deadline. So you have the players that are up for, you know, acquisition. On our team, one that comes to mind immediately is like Jake Diekman, right? Teams could use him, especially in the playoffs. That's why you would acquire him, especially because I believe he's a free agent at the end of the season. Anyways, okay, you can say we have Jake Diekman has X value, but when you have 5 teams wanting him, 10 teams wanting him, 2 teams wanting him, that's also going to change his value as well. So changing the return that we get. So what I see right now is two somewhat interesting things developing. One in each league, I guess, kind of the state of the league is in the American League. The cream of the crop, I think, is well known, being the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Astros. I would say that the Angels are not far behind, and the Mariners are not far behind them either.
I mean, the Mariners are in a really weird position, though, given the big news.
Yeah.
The Robbie Cano news. I mean, he's going to be out for 80 games, which isn't a ton long than his injury would say, but he's also out for the playoffs now. I'm not sure that that's a roster that's looking at itself top to bottom and saying, this is a World Series contender.
No.
Given that we will have to play without Robinson Cano. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do on the buying and selling market knowing they won't have arguably their best possession player.
Yeah, well, knowing that, and then also knowing who is their general manager, Jerry DePoto, who like is addicted to making trades.
I'm fascinated to see it.
You want to go through his transaction history, like, go ahead and take a seat and, like, take your shoes off, and it's going to be a long
read. Settle in.
But anyways, Mariners are still at least good. They're a little bit above average, I would say. They're above average
they're a fine team.
You know,
fine team.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, I would think that also the Indians are better than their record would show. It's funny that their bullpen, who like kind of revolutionized playoff bullpens, has been their Achilles heel this year. So they might use one of our bullpen arms. All this to say is kind of, it looks like there is a top tier of American League teams where Boston acquiring Jake Diekman, for example. I don't know their roster. They may have a great lefty reliever. I don't know. Whatever. But them acquiring him instead of the Yankees acquiring him might make the difference in a game in the playoffs, for example. And, you know, getting those marginal differences might be make him more valuable and make our guys more valuable and give us a better return, which is good for us, obviously. National League, it's kind of the opposite. Everything is wide open. And mm-hmm. you have a lot of teams that I think would also, again, you know, be looking for those slight advantages over each other, because really most teams, and yeah, it's not even Memorial Day yet, but teams are in it, man. Like, and teams that weren't expecting to be in it are in it. And so I can definitely see some organizations getting excited and saying, you know what? Yeah, we'll give you some guys for Kella, and we'll give you some guys for, you know, another Diekman and Hamels trade. And maybe that puts us over the top. Maybe that gets, you know, the Pirates into the wild card game or something. I don't know. And it's interesting. So I also am interested in seeing, especially in the National League, with everything being so close, how soon does the sell start? Because we are 2 months away, a little over 2 months away from the trade deadline. But, hey, what if we could tell you that you get Kella for, you know, an extra 15 appearances or an extra 10 appearances if you acquire him next week rather than on July 31st? Mm-hmm. That's pretty valuable.
Who are you eyeing, Mike, in terms of who might move or who do you think is on that list who may surprisingly end up staying?
I mean, I'm really looking at the relief corps. Those are the ones who can have an immediate impact, and I think those are the ones who are going to end up being the most valuable, that we could have a little bit of a trade war. We can see their stock rise and hopefully get some decent returns there. These guys are young, they're controllable, and they're doing well, and they can help out a contender. I mean, we see what a guy like Mike Adams was able to do for the Rangers 2011. Sure. You know, it gives you an immediate boost, and it brings the whole team up, because they're like, management, ownership, they believe in us, and we're going to give them our all. So, yeah, I would see those guys coming off probably in the next 30 to 45 days.
That's actually a point I really like, and one that I've seen reported on quite a lot for the sort of clubhouse conversation that fans don't often get to be party to, and that there does seem to be a big thing morally, morale-wise, for a team picking up, like, setup guys. Like, hey, we believe in this team, and you know what we need? Just a few tweaks. Just, we don't need to bring in an ace. We don't need to bring in the big bopper. We believe in this pitching staff. We believe in these bats. We're going to bring in a guy like Keone Kella. He's going to be our seventh or eighth inning guy. This team is really good. We love you guys. We're going to give you that little extra juice. I've seen articles that talk about the reaction of players when their front office believes in them and says, you know all this team needs? You need a Mike Adams. You need a Jake Diekman. You need a guy, you know, on the fringes for Texas's purposes, a Tony Barnett, or, I mean, I wouldn't want to see either of these two guys go, but Chris Martin and Alex Claudio are going to be in conversation for this. You know, what if it's a team out there that says, you know the guy we want? We want an Alex Claudio. He rounds out our bullpen, and that's all that their players want to see. And so those guys, they really want to see that pickup from their front office. And, you know, what can Texas get for a dude who is a setup guy, maybe not a traditionally elite one, but even a traditionally elite one like a Keone Kella, that's gonna be the thing. That's where we're gonna make or break this season, I think, as Rangers fans top to bottom, is what kind of value do we get for Diekman and Kella and some of these fringe guys? folks like Barnett and Martin might figure in. You know, when I'm watching games, I see a guy like Chris Martin or a guy like Tony Barnett, and I go, that could be a useful piece. I don't know that they're going to be worth enough on the trade market to see them actually get moved. You know, there, I think people were railing last year against the front office for not moving parts when the returns weren't there. You know, there's no point in trading Tony Barnett for nothing, cash or whatever. There's no point in trading Tony Barnett for some like washout quadruple A backup first baseman. Why? You know, win yourself the extra game or two. Who cares? So you have to get value. Kella is going to be, and to a lesser extent, Hamels, and then maybe also Bartolo Colon. Those are going to be the ones that are really interesting for me. I think Diekman almost has to move. 1 year, a team picking him up knows they don't have to offer very much for it to be worth it for Texas, so he's almost certainly going to get moved. But a guy like Kella, who's under control a little bit longer, a team is thinking, well, we don't want to offer too much. And Texas is going, well, we're not going to take nothing, because that's a reliever. We can just keep him. This is where JD really, you know, makes his name. This is where he needs to go in there and get value out of a player who's on the fringes and say, I'm going to get something for Keone Kelly. I'm going to package him with a guy like Cole Hamels or Adrian Beltre or what have you, and I'm going to get some value out of this. And it's not what I really spend every offseason looking forward to. Like, oh, I can't wait until July when we trade all of my favorite players for guys in A-ball who are 18. But, like, this is what we should be looking for right now as Rangers fans, I think.
Could we be seeing the return of the baseball ninja?
Maybe.
I certainly hope so.
I mean, we talked about a guy last week. You brought him up. Hunter Cole. He was the return in the Sam Dyson trade last year. And the Sam Dyson trade is a strong word. The Sam Dyson,
I was going to say. Yeah.
The Sam Dyson launch into the sun, but San Francisco got in the way. And they felt obligated to give us some charity pieces. And Hunter Cole may be nothing. Yeah, he may never be any. He may not even be a Ryan Rua. But he's
but
hitting
he's got
the
some upside.
Smack out of the ball at Double A.
Yes, he
and
is.
A dude who can even hit a Double A is a great return for a. How would you even describe what Sam Dyson was?
Burnout.
Yeah, God. It was awful. It was so bad. It was so hard to watch because I loved Sam Dyson the year and a half we had him before that.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
he was great.
That, it's like, amazing.
Crazy
to,
sinker.
Oh yeah, you look up his baseball reference page. I might actually do that right now if I
don't make
get there fast
sad.
Enough. No. I'm only going to look at 20. What was it? 15. It was 2015. The half year when we acquired him. It is unreal. His ERA plus was like 200 something. Oh shoot, I just typed in Jared Dyson. No, Sam Dyson.
Oh hey, was that the Tomas Tolis trade?
Yeah.
Is that how we got?
Yeah, and Cody Eggy or Edge, whatever. Yeah, let's see.
That one.
2015 with the Rangers he pitched in 31 games. He had an ERA of 115, an ERA plus of 371.
That's good.
A whip of 0.89.
Also good.
And had 7.5 strikeouts to walks. He was unreal. And he was like the third person in that bullpen, too. Oh, man. 2015 was so much fun. Anyways, we're living in 2018.
Like bowling ball sinker.
But it's crazy how...
Sam Dyson was not a big name. He was not a national name. And I pride myself on watching a ton of baseball. I try to watch 2 to 250 games a year. I watch lots of games from other teams. I have MLB TV. This is what I do in my afternoons and evenings if I'm not otherwise busy. I pull up a weird game and I watch it. And I watch Marlins games. I liked their broadcast. I thought they were terrible. They were kind of fun to watch. I couldn't have told you a dang thing about Sam Dyson before I picked him up. And so other teams are going to be out there and their fan bases are going to be sitting there in July. Like, who the heck is Tony Barnett and why did we trade for him? You know, who the heck is Keone Kella? Is that even a closer, man? Who is this guy? I think that's the kind of guy that we're going to see moved, and hopefully we can get a return out of it that's, well, maybe not Tomas Tolis or Cody Edgy.
E-G-E is his last name. I don't know.
I never knew how to pronounce it when he was here. You know, maybe we get nothing out of it, but you know, maybe you get somebody. Look at a guy who was sort of an unheralded piece, and it's not you know, apples to apples here. Yovani Gallardo is a guy we picked up. He was a starter. We picked him up for a full season. He wasn't a deadline move. But Gallardo, we traded Marcos Duplan, who I like quite a lot. I like him so much, in fact, that I have a signed Marcos Duplan Stoneman Douglas hat that I bought from MLB after this year's spring training, which is a, just as a side shout out, great move by MLB, I thought, to do the hats in the wake of the tragedy there and to move those off for charity going to victims' funds. I thought it was a really, really cool move, and I felt really glad to be a part of that. But I picked up a Marcos Duplan autographed hat because I recognized his name as a former Rangers prospect. Luis Sardinas was also in that trade. But we moved Corey Knebel in that one, who was a sort of fringe, interesting relief prospect. And while he's been healthy, he's been one of the best relievers in the National League. You know, these little pieces in these trades can turn out to be hugely important. You know, if we can move a guy like Barnett or Kella and get a closer of the future, you know, like a Josh Hader that Milwaukee has right now, one of those fringe guys who just clicks, that's a great pickup. That's a worthwhile allocation of our crappy 2018 if you land one or two future big leaguers. That's what happens.
And I'll even say, and it's somewhat of a pipe dream. It's kind of like how Nelson Cruz has ruined every like 27-year-old prospect that has hit in the minor leagues. He's ruined every single one of them for me. It's why I have
all
a hard
Carlos
time.
Carlos Piguero or Nelson Cruz.
So, in the same way, you know, the Rangers have been on the bad end of just kind of having throw in pieces and trades turn into being really good. Just examples off the top of my head, of course, are Kyle Hendricks to the Cubs, was a second piece in a trade. Tanner Roark, I don't even, was that Christian Guzman when we sent him to the Nationals?
I believe so.
And who else? There was another one off the top of my head. I guess not really off the top of my head. It's kind of deep in there. But just these throw-ins that we have in trades that turn out to be,
What about Christian Villanueva from the Easter trade, right?
Yeah, that took a little while.
He's only just now breaking out.
Yeah. But it'd be cool if we had a guy that it's the Hunter Cole kind of deal. You know, maybe a little bit more heralded than him, who is on his like third or fourth time through Double A. But point is that just because we may not recognize the name, or maybe because there's a flaw or two here or there, or maybe he's you know, a low A arm or something like that. I'm optimistic. We've seen it done to us, is what I'm saying, is when you just kind of throw in a guy for a trade deadline acquisition and you say, well, what are we going to do with an AJ Alexi? Turns out, you know, he might be the best player that we acquired.
Alexi's been off to a really good start to the season.
Right.
On the flip side, what was the trade where the throw in was Spider Arias, but it could have been Robinson Cano with the Yankees.
Oh, Joaquin Arias,
Yeah. It goes both ways. And these fringy guys, I mean, you got to watch them really carefully.
No, and Cano is, I mean, Grant Brisby with SB Nation had a really interesting article that I don't always agree with all of the conclusions that Grant draws just on the, by the nature of the type of journalism that he has to get into where he has to draw these big conclusions. But his opening segment was really interesting and talking about Cano, who was never a very well-regarded prospect. And then turns into Robinson Cano. And you've got tons of these guys. There's loads of dudes out there who are not big-name prospects who make it. And you're just really hoping that JD and his scouting staff have their eyes on a couple of guys out there who are going to make that transition to being the next big thing in Texas colors, give a couple of years.
Yeah.
We've got the minor leaguers. We've got a couple of kids who are on the farm. Kevin talked about this a week ago, and we've talked about them, you know, off and on. There's some funds out there. Leandro Taveras is doing really, really well in May. I highly encourage folks listening to go and just take a peek at Leandro Taveras' splits for the month of May. Dude's hitting, and he's found some power.
I can't wait to see him in Frisco in a couple months.
It's going to be really exciting. Mm-hmm. Another guy I was looking at earlier, Tyler Phillips, went for Hickory today. He's had a phenomenal year. ERA is below 3. He's got more strikeouts than he has innings pitched. He has 46 strikeouts and 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 walks. 43 strikeouts, 5 walks in 44 innings.
Very good.
Only 2 home runs. Tyler Phillips looking like a dude.
Coming fast.
Yeah. There's some kids out there. There's some fun ones. And so we're kind of hoping we can pick up a couple of more of those over the next 6 weeks or so, 2 months, just to round out this crap carousel.
There's a reason why, these guys are a lot of times referred to as lotto tickets. You just want to accumulate them, pick good numbers, pick good skill sets, pick good whatever, pick good makeup, good bodies, however you want to identify them, and just roll the dice. And eventually you'll run out, you'll hit on 9 of them, and you'll fill the roster, and then you'll win the World Series. And there you go.
It's just that easy.
Yeah.
This is very straightforward, really.
What's taking us so long? You only need 9 good players. What's the deal?
And maybe 5 pitchers. That might help. Yeah. 14. That's all you need.
Yeah. Just a couple of guys here and there. Just pick up a couple of minor leaguers. So yeah, we have to really hope that that's what happens, and we hope to see continued improvement in some of these young guys, and maybe we see folks like Willie Calhoun come up. But that really just brings us back to the core of this whole discussion, which is that the 2018 Rangers they're not that fun. There's some parts. We've talked about some highlights. We've talked about some lowlights. We don't need to rehash the negatives. And I think we want to try and save those positives for the doldrums of summer. And what that really brings the three of us to is our candidate for actually good this week. I know you guys just did this, but it's about time to do it again. But who has been actually good?
There's so many candidates.
Are there? Wait, no, I've got one.
It's really hard.
I actually do have one for real. I'm not even kidding.
Go for it.
He's been batting over 300. He's on basing well over 400. He's been doing all the things you want to see him to do. Almost as many walks as strikeouts. I have been really enamored of this. His name was Carlos Tochi.
Shut up.
He's batting.
Leave the poor kid alone.
He's batting 320 on his rehab.
He is in fuego.
But no, I don't think he counts because he's playing with Frisco. So who's actually good?
Well, I think that there are a lot of candidates. There's a couple thousand candidates. Well, maybe a couple hundred.
Is it you? Is it you, dear listener?
Could it be? Just might be.
Huh.
If you have watched, I'll tell you what, if you watched all 4 games against the White Sox, which means that not only did you watch the Rangers, but of course, you also had to watch the White Sox, then you are actually good. So congratulations. You did the impossible. You pulled it out. It was a gritty performance. And you got a lot to be proud of. And mm-hmm. And I just want to congratulate you on being actually good. If you want to put your hand in the air and self-proclaim that you are deserving of this distinction, either hit us up on Twitter at Rangers Rundown or email us at rangersrundown@gmail.com, and we'll send you a little something, commemorative something or other, saying...
A nice certificate.
Yeah. I am actually good.
Think of it this way. You're
worthy of framing.
Piece of mail
that worthy of framing.
Major league pitcher will never get.
But this only applies to the first 15,000 people who apply, so get those entries in quickly.
Quick. Oh my gosh.
It's going hard at the gates. I'm just saying.
Okay, honestly.
A little triple dipping here.
Honestly, what number do I think it would be that watched all 9 innings of all 4 games?
We'll take any number.
Including the fact that it was over the weekend, so people are doing other things.
Let's throw.
Does Evan Grant count?
Let's throw an extra bone in there. If you have listened to 16 episodes of Rangers Rundown, you can also put your hand in the air. Our loyal listeners, we want to reward you for being actually good.
Yes.
And listening to this actually cromulent podcast.
I think they deserve some applause.
Yes, there we go. It's you. You're the hero. Look at you. You are the captain now.
Yeah. Hey, and on that note, though, if you have listened to either all of them or if you've only listened to just this podcast, obviously we're 16 episodes in here. We're still obviously unprofessional and we're still just being irrational. So if you want to just let us know how you think we're doing, if you like a particular thing, if you don't like a particular thing, if you want us to talk maybe more about, I don't know, stop talking about the trade deadline because we're 2 months away, or like, I don't know, I want to hear more about Charles LeBlanc or something like that, we can obviously do that. We end up trimming a lot of stuff, a lot of content for this show. So if you like something in particular, please let us know. That would be really helpful for us. And also it would make us feel good because, you know, we put some time into this and it'd be cool to hear back from you. The numbers have been actually really cool.
Yeah. We'd love to be validated. It's very important to us. Let us know. You want more miners talk? Do you want more recap or preview talk? We've got lots of stuff we can do. We're all having fun here, but we want to make sure that the folks tuning in at home are also having a good time and getting what they're tuning in for. So drop us a note. Hit us up on Twitter.
And there'll definitely be a DVD at the end of the season for bloopers and outtakes.
Yeah.
Things that didn't make it all the way through.
We've got stuff on the cutting room floor. It's all good.
Yeah, all there's good. There are a lot of things that are not fit for other people to hear, but it's fine.
You can hear Hayden's cat. You can hear my dog. Lots
of listen
things.
Closely.
Highly entertaining.
See, we're people just like you.
Normal humans. Humans, very much unlike the 2018 Texas Rangers, who are freakazoids and aliens. So I think that about does it for us here on the Rangers Rundown. Love you all for listening. Thank you so much. Everybody out there, have a good night. A good night very much like Ronald Guzman, who hopefully keeps cranking things into the horizon for the rest of time.
Go Condor.